Greta watched as her young charges, Tobias and Daniela, threw a ball back and forth to one another. They ran through the grass of the sprawling meadow next to the city gates of Hamelin. She bounced their infant sister, Elisabetta, in her lap, feeling the breeze gently waft through her hair. She smiled contentedly. It was a beautiful summer morning in June. The daffodils were in full bloom. The sparrows were chirping. Spirits were high. Greta closed her eyes, lost in thought. Perhaps she would meet Lars at the tavern when she dropped the children back home with their parents. She smiled at the thought of Lars. As Greta rocked Elisabetta back and forth, it dawned on her how quiet it had gotten. Eerily quiet. The children were nowhere to be seen.
Tobias! Daniela!
She turned and looked all around her. The ball was gone. All she could hear was the rustling of leaves, as if the children had vanished into thin air.
Where are you?
Greta shouted, panic rising in her chest. She heard the music, and it made the hairs on her neck stand on end. Her eyes grew wide. She scrambled to stand up and almost dropped the baby.
Come back, Toby!
She screamed. The sounds were unmistakable. The man was back for revenge. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales. Today, I'm sharing the story of the Pied Piper of Hamelin, the famous tale of 130 children disappearing one summer day. Today's episode describes an account written by the Brothers Grimm in the 1800s. The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. Please exercise caution for children under 13. If you want to hear more tales, you can find episodes on your favorite podcast directory. While you're there, feel free to make our day by leaving a 5-star review. A new episode will release every other Saturday. So if you enjoy it, subscribe. The Pied Piper of Hamelin is one of the most intriguing fairy tales because, by all accounts, it is a true story. Seemingly, it happened in the German town of Hamelin in 1284. The first evidence of this was recorded in a stained glass window in a church in Hamelin in 1384, created in memory of the children that went missing that day. It stated simply, "It is 100 years since our children left." This haunting memorial was destroyed in the 1600s, but there are historical documents that recounted the event as well. One of the oldest, dating back to the 15th century, states, quote, "In the year of 1284, on the day of Saints John and Paul, on June 26th, by a piper, clothed in many kinds of colors, 130 children born in Hamelin were seduced and lost," end quote. The story always involved a piper, but the earliest accounts don't involve the infamous rat plague. This shuts down a popular belief that the children simply died from the bubonic plague. So what happened to the children, and why? While numerous theories abound, the Pied Piper of Hamelin is ultimately a tale of spellbinding magic and unspeakable loss. The mayor of Hamelin was having a most splendid dream. He dreamt that he was walking through the streets of his fair city, smelling the freshly baked bread and saying hello to his fellow citizens. Everyone was gazing at him with such admiration. He was a revered leader of his people. Beloved! They began chanting his name. He clapped along to the incantation with glee. Something was itching his face. He scratched it absentmindedly, trying to ignore it, as he smiled, graciously accepting his praise, but it just wouldn't stop itching. The mayor opened his eyes. A rat was plopped on his face, nibbling on the mayor's bushy auburn mustache as he slept, enjoying the remnants of last night's spetzel, no doubt.
Confound you!
The mayor grabbed the offending rodent and flung it against the wall. The rat scurried off into a shadowy corner in search of something else to munch on. The mayor shook his head. This had gone on too long. The rats of Hamelin had taken over the city, and he didn't know what to do. They seemed to multiply every day. They had stopped cowering before brooms and mops. Yelling seemed to only make them bolder. It appeared that the rats were beginning to mock the citizens of Hamelin, growing more brazen with each passing week. The mayor lumbered out of bed and down to the kitchen, where his daughter was pulling bread out of the oven. It smelled delicious. Anna was nearly 17 and wise beyond her years. She was precocious and good-hearted. She had gotten all of these great qualities from him, naturally.
"Good morning, Father," Anna said, and kissed his cheek. "You better eat this quickly before the rats arrive for breakfast."
"They already have arrived," he grumbled, and rubbed his mustache as if he could eliminate the incident upstairs.
He tore a large piece of the loaf and grabbed a knife to slather his bread in butter.
"Mother went to the market to get some berries."
The mayor sighed with great exasperation.
"We just got some yesterday and put them underneath a bucket and placed a stone on top of that. It was far too heavy for them to lift."
Anna shrugged with resignation.
"They did it."
The mayor shook his head. Soon enough, a rat would be the mayor of Hamelin. The mayor grunted and walked to see who could be at the house this early in the morning. He did not like to be approached until he left the home, but he was the mayor, and he knew that sometimes the people needed his calm and pragmatic leadership. He opened the door to find Frau Helsinger and Frau Schneider standing in front of him, exasperated and irritable. Frau Helsinger thrust her young baby under his nose.
"Mayor, this rat problem must stop at once. This morning a rat bit Matthias's face."
Indeed, the baby's cheek had a massive, angry-looking welt. Frau Schneider piped up.
"And I am losing business. The rats have completely eaten all of my cherries. How can I possibly make a living if my product is gone?"
"Silence, women!"
The mayor raised his hands. Yelling for silence was often the key to his leadership.
"You are not the only one suffering under this rat infestation, and indeed, it grows worse by the day."
He stroked his beard, pondering for a moment.
"At noon, we shall gather in the town square and discuss this as a community. Tell your neighbors that we shall be gathering today."
Frau Helsinger's infant started wailing at the noise. The mayor looked at the baby, knowing his loud volume and overly enthusiastic clapping was the source of his distress.
"Sorry about that, Frau Helsinger."
Frau Helsinger sniffed irritably and stomped off. Frau Schneider followed suit. She turned and called over her shoulder,
"Get rid of these rats, Mayor, or we'll find someone to lead this town that can."
The mayor watched them storm away with his jaw dropped. Never had the citizens spoken to him like this. He was a warm and popular pillar of the community. He trudged back into the home. Anna poked her head out from the kitchen.
"What's wrong, Papa?"
The mayor slid into a kitchen chair, stewing.
"The people of Hamelin are at their wits' end with this rat problem, and apparently I am to blame."
Anna kissed the top of his head sympathetically.
"But what can you do, Papa?"
"I have to come up with something."
The mayor's wife, Luisa, entered, carrying in fruit from the market. She also looked distraught and defeated.
"What happened? You look upset,"
the mayor asked, concerned. Luisa sat in the chair next to her husband.
"The citizens of Hamelin are furious.
Each one spoke to me about their problems and are imploring you do something. They've had all they can bear. Also, I stepped on 3 rats on the way home. They're not afraid to be in the clear light of day. They have no fear anymore. She sighed, and the mayor nodded. This problem is bigger than I ever could have imagined. It might be time to admit I need some help. The word had spread quickly that the mayor was going to address the townsfolk about the rat infestation, and all had shown up to air their grievances. There was a simmering discontent directed at the mayor as he strode through the cobblestone square. He nodded and smiled, but he knew that they wanted him to fix it. Heavy is the neck that wears the mayoral livery collar, he thought wearily, and adjusted his heavy gold chain. He mounted the wooden platform in the center of the square, a platform that was often used for hanging criminals. Anna and Louisa stood beside him in a show of support. The mayor raised his hands to quiet the crowd.
My fellow citizens, rats. Rats are why we are here today. We have tried to kill them, scare them, starve them, but they only come back stronger, and they only come back in double, triple the numbers. They are taking over our fair city, and we must stop it.
The mayor dropped a giant sack of coins onto the platform. He held up one of the gold coins from the sack.
I offer this sack of gold coins to whomever can rid this town of this infestation once and for all. I offer this immense reward to acknowledge that we need help, and we are willing to pay for it. Our livelihood and our health are at stake. We need a solution, and we need one now.
Murmurs spread through the crowd as the distinct sounds of a fife wafted through the air. They all looked around, craning their necks to see where the sound was coming from. Walking straight into the town square was a man dressed rather unusually. A man dressed in multicolored clothing, as if he were some court jester. The man continued playing all the way to the platform, and the crowd stepped out of his way, clearing a path for him. He smiled slyly up at the mayor, who frowned down at the man in the silly clothes. The jester man bowed with great courtesy. I can solve your rat problem. We'll return to our story in just a moment. And now let's continue the story. The town was abuzz at the arrival of this strange man. The mayor eyed him suspiciously as he smiled up at the mayor and his family. His face was open, guileless. The mayor didn't trust it. The mayor glanced over at Anna, who appeared entranced by this man. She couldn't take her eyes off him. He didn't like that either.
Silence! The mayor called out. Please, sir, introduce yourself. We'd all like to know who you are and what you are doing here.
The mayor gestured to the crowd. You may call me the Pied Piper. I travel from town to town and make my way playing this fife. He held up the instrument that they had all heard just moments before. I couldn't help but overhear that you all are having a problem with rats. I believe I could be of some service to you. The mayor harrumphed and crossed his arms.
And what makes you so sure about that?
The Pied Piper smiled the smile of a man with a secret.
You shall see, he said mysteriously. I promise you shall not be disappointed.
He pointed to a sack of gold resting on the railing of the platform.
And that is the reward there?
May I see how much you are offering? He stepped forward. The mayor snatched the bag of gold and held it close to his chest, making it apparent to everyone he thought the man was a thief. The Pied Piper laughed, highly amused by the gesture. I am not here to rob your town. I am here to help. Anna stepped forward.
We mean no offense, sir. We are not used to strangers that look like you in Hamelin, especially ones who appear out of the blue offering to help us.
The mayor observed his calm, intelligent child. She was so poised. But he still didn't like how she couldn't take her eyes off of the Pied Piper. She looked up at the mayor.
Show him, Father.
The mayor reluctantly stepped forward. He lowered the sack of coins down so the Pied Piper could indeed see that the money he was offering was real. The Pied Piper looked carefully at the reward, as if he were able to count every coin in the sack. When the mayor felt the man had looked long enough, he quickly snapped the drawstring, closing it up tight, and returning it to the safety of his arms.
Well then, what do you say?
The Pied Piper held out his hand. It's a deal. The mayor looked at his wife, who nodded her head to shake the man's hand. The mayor beamed out at the crowd, as if to assure them that he was making a great deal on their behalf, and embraced the man's hand vigorously.
Splendid! Welcome to Hamelin.
As the two men shook hands, a rat scurried across the Pied Piper's foot. Both men watched it brazenly make its way through the throngs of people. The mayor looked ready to explode in rage, and an angry vein became visible in his forehead. The Pied Piper laughed jovially again.
Don't worry, Herr Mayor. He'll be the first one I collect.
He took a step backwards, and the people of Hamelin gave him a wide berth, eager to see what his plan was to cure the city of its ills. He turned and grinned at everyone, as if he were about to begin a performance. Everyone was waiting with bated breath. He dramatically pulled the fife out of his pocket and raised it to his lips. And as he began to blow into the instrument, the most soothing, dulcet tones emerged. The crowd noticeably relaxed as the sound wafted through the air. It was so pleasant, so delightful, that they assumed the man was just giving them a concert. He paused for a moment. He raised his hand for the crowd to quiet. He wasn't done, and he wasn't giving a performance. The mayor frowned and shifted uncomfortably from the platform. What was he doing? Suddenly, the rat that crawled over the Pied Piper's foot just moments before came scurrying right back, dashing through the crowd as fast as his little legs could carry him. The city of Hamelin watched the rodent in stunned silence. The little creature arrived at the Pied Piper's feet, standing up on his hind legs. He gazed up at him in awe, as if the fife player was serenading him and him alone. Suddenly, two more rodents came streaming through the crowd and sat down at the feet of the Pied Piper on their hind legs, completely enthralled by the beautiful music. And after them, rats began poking their heads out of windows, out of bushes, and flower pots. Before long, the nooks and crannies of Hamelin were springing forth rodent after rodent. The people of Hamelin looked around warily. They were surrounded. Rat after rat poured into the streets, crawling over people's shoulders, squeezing through knees, clawing at children's sleeves, all so they could get as close as possible to the magical multicolored man. Men, women, and children were all aghast at what was happening, but they were powerless to move, hypnotized. The mayor stood stunned until he noticed Anna step forward herself. He grabbed her by the arm. What was this sorcery? Finally, it seemed as if there was no more room to breathe in the town square, so packed with humans and rats squirming and squished up against one another, sweat and flesh and fur. rats cramming into pockets and baskets and crawling into hats. At the moment, when it seemed that the entire place was going to suffocate under the critical mass, the Pied Piper turned on his heels and made his way through the crowd effortlessly, as if he were unaware at the dense, cramped scene he was causing. The piper's music turned into a brisk march, and the rats assembled in formation behind him. The mayor was frozen in his spot on the platform, his jaw dropped. What was happening? Like little, dutiful soldiers, the rats and mice of Hamelin scuttled after him, as if it were the most natural thing in the world, an obedient army following their captain. As he led the rats out of the city gates, the citizens of Hamelin climbed the steps to the top of the city walls to see where he was taking them. He was leading them down the path to the river. The people of Hamelin watched in awe as the Pied Piper slowly and steadily marched his army down to the swift current. He didn't stop at the shore. He waded in himself. He strode into the water until it was waist deep. The rats did not stop either. They continued following him all the way into the water. Even as the first few rats were immediately swept away, the others piled in after. As soon as they got in the water, they panicked. But it was too late. None of them realized what was happening until their feet had left the security of land. But it didn't stop them from trying to save themselves. The rats climbed on top of each other, trying to turn back, but to no avail. The current was too swift and too strong. Rats clawed at eyes, scratching fur, bleeding, biting, trying to get sure footing somewhere, but it only caused more confusion. And yet, the rats kept marching into the water. The Pied Piper stood in the middle of all of the swirling chaos and carnage, as if oblivious, blithely playing his fife without a care in the world. Until finally, every last rat had been swept away. Our story will continue in a moment after a brief message. And now, back to tales. Having completed the task he promised the city of Hamelin, the Pied Piper returned, only to find that the city gates were locked. He had been shut out. The Pied Piper looked up and saw the mayor looming from the top of the city walls down below at him. "I've come for my reward," he called up. The people of Hamelin stood next to the mayor and stared back down at him. "I rid your city of its rats, and now you shall pay me, fair and square." "Fair and square?" the mayor responded mockingly and burst into booming laughter. "Fair and square?" he laughed louder. "All you did was play that flute." "Fife." The mayor scoffed. "Whatever it is, that's all you did. You were doing that when you walked in, for free. Maybe it was a coincidence that they followed you. How did you even know that was going to happen?" "It was no accident. That money is mine. Our city was besieged with rats for some time. We need this money to regain the food that we lost. You won't be needing this." "I would hand that money over if I were you," the piper called up. "Or what?" The mayor once again burst into raucous laughter, and everyone followed suit. "Silly, ridiculous flute player." The mayor abruptly turned and stalked away. Slowly, the others in the crowd got back to their daily activities and left the locked gates of the city. The show was over. The Pied Piper watched above him as one by one they disappeared, accepting that the mayor was not going to change his mind. The last face he saw before he turned away in bitterness and anger was the mayor's daughter's sorrowful face,
looking down at him apologetically. Months later, on a summer morning in June, Anna stood contemplatively in the kitchen, chopping food for the day's meals. The mayor entered the kitchen, ready for work, and stroked his daughter's hair affectionately. "What's on your mind, daughter?" She looked up at him thoughtfully.
"I still wonder if it was the right thing to do, Father, not giving that man his money."
The mayor scowled. "How many times will you insist on asking me this ridiculous question? You need to get that man out of your mind. I did what was right, and that's final."
"But you went back on your word."
"I said that's final."
The mayor stormed out of the house, slamming the door behind him. Anna jumped at the noise. She sighed and went back to her duties. She knew that she was still young, but it didn't seem right to promise something and then take it away, even if it didn't seem very hard to play a fife, and maybe the town needed the money. After she finished preparing the day's meals, she left the house to go pick up her father's shoes that were getting repaired at the cobbler. But as soon as she opened the door, she was almost knocked down by a stream of young children careening through the streets.
"Anna, hurry!"
A tow-headed 7-year-old called after to her. She got jostled and pushed by a boy of about 12 who was carrying a small girl in his arms. What could this be about? She decided she would see what it was all about. She allowed herself to be swept along with the tidal wave of young people swarming the streets, leading to the town square. And then she heard it. He was back. Could this be real? Anna picked up her pace, suddenly finding herself rushing to get to the source of the sound. She had to see him. She thought about almost nothing else but that mysterious man since that fateful day. When she reached the square, there he was, standing in the center, on the execution platform where her father had stood that day, surrounded by all the children of Hamelin. He looked different than he had before. He looked older, as if the intervening months had been quite wearying. He wore a hunter's costume in place of the multicolored outfit from before, but there was still that beguiling quality about him, a man of secrets and enchantments. He took the fife away from his lips and called out to the audience of children before him.
"Your parents are cheats and liars who showed no gratitude when someone came to their aid. You deserve better than to become like them."
He then raised the fife back up to his lips and began playing again. It was the sweetest melody Anna had ever heard. It was as if her heart were thumping in time to it, a song that was already inside of her, a song she already knew since the day she was born. She closed her eyes to focus on it. When she looked back up, the piper was off of the platform and gone. She craned her neck, trying to see over the heads of the boys, but she couldn't see him. Children streamed past her once again, though, heading towards the gates of the city. The same gate the Pied Piper had been locked out of and banished. Should she go? She knew her father would disapprove. She just wanted to get a better look at him. Maybe he would remember her. Apparently, all of the other children had the same idea, because they were all pushing and clamoring, trying to get a glimpse of the man, trying to hear more of that sweet melody. Before she knew it, she had crossed through the meadow and was deep in the forest following the sound. Everyone was. What a delightful game! Children held hands, skipping, laughing. This was the most wonderful summer day.
"Anna, where are you going? Come back!"
She thought she could hear her father's voice call after her. She couldn't be sure. All she knew was that she had to follow him. Her heart just had to follow that music.
She felt as if she could follow it to the ends of the earth. As the parade disappeared out of the city gates, parents started to frantically call after their children. They ran once again to the top of the city walls, perched on stones, looking over the hills and valleys for where the children may have gone. But there was no trace of them.
Anna! Anna!
The mayor screamed over and over, but it was too late. There were 130 children in total who were lost that day. Only 3 children were spared: a blind child who could not see his way, a deaf child who could not hear the piper's call, and a young boy who forgot his coat and ran home to get it, only to discover that the group had vanished by the time he returned. As the boy turned and headed home, he scuffed his shoes along the gravel path, sad to have missed out on an adventure for the day. Little did he realize that he would be the only child from Hamelin who heard the piper's call and walked back into the city gates ever again. Did the boy miss out of being led to a land of enchantment? Or did he avoid meeting a grisly fate? The theories of this tale might persist forever. Some say that the children simply died of natural causes that year, and that the Pied Piper is a fictional character created to be the personification of death, a colorful Grim Reaper. Another theory hints that the parents sent the children away themselves, because the town of Hamelin was steeped in deep, abject poverty. And still another posits that they were sent to Romania on a failed children's crusade. While others argue that there was a piper in the army who stole the children to fight in the 30 Years' War, a charismatic man who was willfully steering innocent, inexperienced fighters to certain death on the battlefield. We may never know the truth. What we do know is that however fantastical the stories have become over time regarding that day in Hamelin, what's true is that at one point in history, a small German city lost their children to a mysterious man. Thanks for listening to Tales. If you want to listen to more tales, you can find us and subscribe on your favorite podcast directory or listen on parcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, we'd truly appreciate a 5-star review. We'll see you next time. Tales was created by Max Cutler. It is a production of Cutler Media and is part of the Parcast Network. It is produced by Max and Ron Cutler, sound design by Ron Shapiro, with production assistance by Paul Mahler. Additional production assistance by Maggie Admire and Carly Madden. Tales is written by Gina Machusek. I'm Vanessa Richardson.